Back here on First Up, Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. And top-notch investigative journalism can be hard to find these days, especially in the sports world. But our next guest is clearly the exception to the rule. The biggest and most important story in hockey, hell, the biggest story in sports right now revolves around the Chicago Blackhawks, who have been the subject of an independent investigation with regards to how the team has handled sexual assault allegations against a former video coach during the 2010 Stanley Cup run. TSN senior correspondent Rick Westhead has been the lead on this story for months now, and he joins us this morning on First Up. Good morning, Rick.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. Carlo?
What's up, Rick? How are you?
Thank you very much for doing this for us, and congrats on, I mean, the story is far from over, but you have been on this since May, since the first lawsuit was filed, and honestly, man, I'm in awe of the work that you've done. It's been remarkable to see, so congratulations to you and your team. Let's start from the beginning, and we probably should caution our listeners. Some of these details can be difficult to hear and frankly, difficult to comprehend. Take us back to May 13th, the day the lawsuit was filed, accusing the team of ignoring these allegations against Brad Aldrich, a then Blackhawks coach.
Sure. If you'll permit me, I'll go back even just a little bit farther.
Perfect.
So the player in this case, a former Chicago Blackhawks player who is referred to as John Doe in court documents, he and his lawyer go to the Blackhawks and tell them the story of what happened in the playoffs in 2010. And they're looking to avoid the limelight and public scrutiny and do this quietly in terms of getting some kind of compensation for the abuse that he says took place. And the Blackhawks say, go pound sand. They don't want any part of this. They're not going to pay a dime. And then in May, as you point out, the lawsuit is filed. And the team's response in its statement of defense is to say, we knew about these allegations and we investigated them. There is nothing there.
Wow.
And so we are not willing to talk about settlement, and the judge should dismiss this case because there's no merit to the allegations. So when you think about that's where the Blackhawks were at in May, we've come a long way in 6 months, and we've heard a lot of detail about what actually happened. And yesterday, obviously, an exhaustive 100-page plus report from the law firm in Chicago that the Blackhawks hired. And I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised with how much detail was actually put out into the public. I had minimum expectations for transparency on this, but at least yesterday, this team did the right thing by coming clean and putting it all out there.
Well, Rick, I think you deserve a lot of credit for where this story has come because of your amazing reporting to this story and actually getting to the truth of it. But I got to ask you, do you think that the appropriate punishment was laid, or do you expect there to be more?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think there are still, this story's not over, just because the team says, well, we've directed our lawyers to talk about a settlement with the other side. That doesn't mean there's going to be a settlement. This could still go down the road and wind up in court in Chicago in front of a jury if they can't agree on what a fair settlement is. So, there's a lot that still has to happen here, Carlo, and some of the details that I know about this case still haven't been in the public domain. So, it wouldn't surprise me if over the course of the next couple months the team, does try to make this go away. But in terms of whether the fine is enough, the Blackhawks have been fined $2 million by the NHL. What does that mean for a $1 billion company? Especially when you consider that, 11 years ago, back in 2010, the New Jersey Devils contravened the salary cap when they signed Kovalchuk to a long-term deal. And at the time, their penalty was $3 million and a loss of draft picks. That's back in 2010. And to be fair, the NHL refunded half of that fine later. But at the moment, they fined them $3 million in 2010 money. And here we are 11 years later, and the fine for covering up sexual abuse is $2 million.
Well, think about the Arizona Coyotes who lost a couple of draft picks for making a kid run wind sprints against the rules of the NHL. So when you put that into perspective compared to what's going on with the Blackhawks, I mean, it's not exactly commensurate with the punishment fitting the crime. Rick Westhead is our guest. Sorry, go ahead, Rick.
No, you're right. And one of the phrases that I think comes to mind on cases like this is deeds versus words. You know, everyone is going to say the right thing right now, which is, you know, that they support the victim and they want the team to be better and the league to be better in the future. And that's great that they say that. We've heard that a lot in sports in recent years. But the truth is going to be, what I think is important is going to be, what's the deed? How do they follow that up to back up with action what they say publicly?
Rick Westhead is our guest, TSN senior correspondent, who has been covering the Chicago Blackhawks scandal. I guess it's fair to call it this that at this point, Rick. On July 13th, you reported that Brent Sopel, who is a Chicago Blackhawks defenseman, he said that almost every player and coach on the 2010 team was aware of the allegations of sexual misconduct against the former video coach, Brad Aldrich. And there's a number of players, coaches, managers still in the NHL to this day, and they give a few. I think Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane were on that team. Joel Quenneville was the coach of that team. He's now with the Florida Panthers. Kevin Cheveldayoff was part of that team. He's the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. For those guys, and we saw that Stan Bowman, the general manager, stepped down yesterday. Another member of the front office with the Blackhawks stepped down yesterday. How do you think it plays out for the guys still in hockey who were associated with this tragedy 11 years ago?
Well, at the least, it's going to make them uncomfortable. You know, whether it's Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane or Duncan Keith or other guys who are on that team, you know, I'd be reading all of this today, and it would make me uncomfortable. Let's be fair to these guys. You know, Jonathan Toews did not have a responsibility to go to the police. This was not on the players. The reason that this was a story over the summer about who knew what was we were still trying to piece together what happened, and we were looking for corroboration that, you know, this was something that was talked about.
So the reason was trying to be done
in
about
the summer
it.
That Nick Boynton's comments were important or Brent Sopel's comments were important was because they added validation to what we'd already heard from Paul Vincent, a former Blackhawks coach who told me on the record that he'd been approached by two players on that team who shared their stories of abuse, and that he'd gone to management and management had decided to cover it up. So that's why we were, you know, why it was important to hear from players. I don't think anyone should suggest that any of these players had an obligation to do anything about it in terms of going to the authorities. Management's a different story. You know, we know that in Florida that Joel Quenneville said that he didn't know anything about this until it started being reported in the media this year. Can you get fired for lying in the NHL right now? I don't know if you can, because what that report that was disclosed yesterday shows is that he very well knew about this in 2010 and did not want the distraction of a whiff of scandal to impact in any way the team's run for a Stanley Cup. I'm curious what you guys think. How do Kevin Cheveldayoff and Joel Quenneville come off looking today, and do they survive this?
Well, I think, and Carlo, you played in the NHL for 14 years. You understand exactly, you know, the roles that these guys have at this current moment. These are leaders of men, right? So you're talking about Quenneville, who's the coach of the Florida Panthers. Kevin Cheveldayoff's the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. They're at the top of their respective organizations. And to be implicated in something like this, and this is a true disgrace to the NHL that something like this happened on their watch as a whole. And Gary Bettman, it's been reported, it's been told that he will be speaking with Quenneville and Cheveldayoff in the coming days, coming weeks, to ascertain exactly what they knew and what they didn't know about this. But I don't know, man, for me, it's difficult to kind of comprehend if everything that, according to this report, is true, those guys keeping their current roles simply because of what transpired after this video coach, this disgraced video coach, left the organization with letters of recommendation, going on to get new jobs where he was allowed to prey on other people simply as a result of the inaction of the Blackhawks. Honestly, the whole thing is a disgrace as far as I'm concerned. And anyone associated with that team back in 2010 who had the ability to stop this in its tracks and ultimately allowed it to go on, I mean, that's kind of how I look at it, Coco. I don't know how you do.
Well, I think it's unfair for me to comment on it just based on, you know, Stan Bowman, his remarks in his press release, basically saying that he had put trust in the president and CEO to handle this matter. And you saw the release from Kevin Cheveldayoff yesterday saying that, you know, I have shared everything I know about this matter. So I don't really, I mean, look, if they did have a hand in it and could have done something about it, then yeah, they should be responsible for their actions. But until the facts come out, it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard to comment. And I guess my next question to you is, Rick, you've probably had some follow up with John Doe since this release. You know, how is he feeling about what has come out and the sort of the actions that have been taken from it?
I don't want to say too much about that, Carlo, other than to say that yesterday I asked his lawyer for a comment, you know, to you know, a sort of a summary statement for how he was doing. I know that he watched the video yesterday of the, you know, presentation of that report and cried all the way through it. It was very emotional. And the statement that his lawyer sent to me talked about how he really hoped to be that this would be, you know, a moment of change for the sport. But remember, we've heard this before, right? In the late 1990s, Sheldon Kennedy was, you know, put his hand up and said, I was sexually assaulted by my coach in junior hockey, Graham James, and no one believed him. How could a portly junior hockey coach, middle-aged man, possibly, you know, victimize a professional athlete who's in the prime shape of his life? How could that happen? No one believed Sheldon. And then even after there was a conviction, you know, he still was tainted. And these are words that he's shared with me. I've been talking to Sheldon a lot in recent weeks. And at the time, there was a promise that the sports community and our government made. Never again. We're going to fix the system so it's safe. Well, I think it's fair to say that that promise at all levels of sport, whether it's amateur sport or higher, quickly forgot the promises that were made to Sheldon and Theron Fleury and other abuse survivors. And so, sure, this may be a moment of reckoning, but it's also possible that the news cycle is going to move on and we're going to be talking about how bad the Leafs are or, you know, how struggling they are and turn the page. And this may be forgotten. We'll see what happens.
Well, Rick, it's very important, the stuff that you're doing, because you're not only making a difference as far as the investigative journalism department here at TSN, you're making a difference in people's lives. You are causing it. You're a result of a change here, and you hope it is a day of reckoning and things like these are not swept under the rug ever again. Not that they should have ever been in the first place. So congratulations to you on all your terrific work so far. I'm certain this story is far from over. And keep doing the good work, my man. We appreciate the time this morning.
Hey, listen, thanks for that. And this does not happen. This reporting does not happen unless we have management at TSN who foster a culture where we can pursue independent investigative journalism, even when it comes at a cost. So, you know, my thanks to colleagues at TSN.
All right. Thank you for the time, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
You're the man, buddy.
Rick Westhead. And this is not a story. Like you understand, like hockey culture, people are not open. No one really wanted to talk about this, obviously, with regards to the Blackhawks. The fact that Rick has been able to open all these doors and get all these people to communicate and really illustrate what happened back in the 2010 Stanley Cup run, at least again, according to this independent investigation, what happened, it's really important. Transcends journalism. This is a real life important thing that us as a society need to confront, and Rick and Katie Strang, amongst others, have been at the forefront of reporting on this story. So congratulations to all of them and everything that has happened so far and everything that will continue to happen as well. We have the Leafs in action against the Blackhawks, the Raptors hosting the Indiana Pacers. The Toronto parlay is in effect. We're back in the Raps. We're back in the Leafs. We'll tell you why as we wrap up first up for this Wednesday morning.